Good morning, brothers and sisters. So since I preached last Sunday about this Sunday's gospel reading, I thought I won't do the same thing again. I'm going to focus on our second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews. And we hear the words of Christ written in this letter that sacrifice and oblation God did not ask, but a body had been prepared for me. And Jesus says that, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. So Jesus, because of this body that his Father has made for him in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, this body that's about to be born at Christmas, he was given this body not to go into the temple and offer lambs and bullocks in sacrifice, but to do the will of his Heavenly Father with that body. In fact, to be the sacrifice himself. That's why he received this body. And as Christians, we know that our job is to not only receive the life that we have from Christ, but to imitate that same life. And so our job is to do the will of the Heavenly Father in whatever way that manifests in each of our individual lives. And so hopefully that's what you're seeking. You're seeking to do the will of God each day, whatever it may be. Now, sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's less clear. Sometimes we want to do it. Other times we don't. But in the end, that's what we're striving for, to do the will of God. Now, there are times in which the will of God is quite obvious, like when the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and the angel Gabriel came to the Blessed Virgin. This miraculous event in which God made it absolutely clear what he wanted you to do. Now, Zechariah did not believe the angel, did not believe it was possible that his wife could get pregnant. And so he got punished. He was struck dumb. So even though he received this miraculous revelation of the will of God for his life, something he had prayed for his whole life, to have a son, he still disbelieved. So God can at times make his will painfully clear to you, miraculously clear. And you can still doubt, and you can still say no, or think you can. But in the other instance with the angel Gabriel and the Blessed Virgin, she didn't doubt at all. She never doubted once. God made his will painfully clear, and she said, let it be done to me according to your word. The perfect response. Anytime we know the will of God, we should always say the words of the Blessed Virgin. Let it be done to me according to your word. But what about when you don't have a miraculous vision of an angel telling you what God wants? It can be challenging and difficult at times to know exactly what he's asking of you. And I don't really want to talk about those areas in your life where it takes a lot of prayer and discernment. We have to take those one by one, and everybody's situations are different. But there are times in our life when we can know the will of God with absolute certainty, not because we want to do it, but because it's the only option we have. So I'm talking about those situations in which God simply doesn't give you a choice. This is what you have to do, whether you like it or not. In those instances, the saints tell us, God is basically making it absolutely clear that this is his will. One instance of this that we're just about to celebrate is the birth of Jesus. So I want you to think about this. Here is the Blessed Virgin Mother, 9 months pregnant. Here is Saint Joseph, this amazing and holy husband and foster father to the Lord. I'm sure he's done everything to get their house ready for this birth to go well. And of course, Mary is thinking, well, he may be the King of Kings, but I don't have a palace, but at least I'll make my house as prepared as possible for the birth of Jesus. Then all of a sudden, there's a summons by Emperor Caesar, some pagan in a distant land who rules over you, saying, guess what, everybody, I want you to go to the town where your tribe began and be registered in a census. 9 months pregnant. I seriously doubt Our Lady had prepared for that. And yet, they didn't have a choice. So what do? Probably Joseph rents a donkey, and they begin to travel. Now, it's going to take them a little longer to get to Bethlehem than all the other people because he's got a pregnant wife on his hands. They're not going to be trotting along at a quick pace. So by the time they get to Bethlehem to register, what happens? And we all know the story quite well. They think, well, he can't be born at home. Well, at least we'll find a good inn or another home with a spare room. That would be appropriate. So they go from inn to inn and house to house, and they're constantly turned away. Again, this wasn't a plan that the Blessed Mother had. This wasn't what Joseph wanted for Mary and Jesus. But door after door is closed before them until finally they come to a house and there's no room inside, but they do have a barn out back where they keep the animals. So if you really need a place, you can stay there. Even if you're not the mother of God, you're just a normal mother. Do you really want to give birth in a barn? I can tell you, Mary had no plans to do this. And Joseph, who realizes this great responsibility that he's been given, maybe was tempted to think, I've failed you, Lord. I failed you. I can't take care of this family. But of course, Mary and Joseph, perfect faith. They knew they had done their best. They knew that they had done everything in their power to prepare for the birth of the Messiah, to make it a holy birth. But because of the things outside of their control, things that they could not affect, they had to accept the situation as it was. And I have no doubt that both of them believed, not understanding why, that this is exactly what God wanted. He wanted his only son to be born in a stable and laid in a manger. In the moment, that probably didn't make sense to Mary and Joseph. But it was clearly the will of God. Why? Well, we can understand why now. We're looking back on it. We see that God wanted to prove his humility, how lowly he's willing to make himself to draw near to us. And the fact that he was born in a stable and laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals, actually prefigured the Holy Eucharist, that he would feed us, mere animals, with his own body. But in that moment, when Mary and Joseph were trying to prepare a place for the Lord, they would never have anticipated that this could be the will of God. But they accepted it. And I'm sure that Joseph did everything in his power to get that barn as spotless as possible. In fact, some of the mystics say that God sent many angels to help him, and they kind of cleaned up all the poop and put up nice straw and everything like that. So, may have been a barn with animals, but it was the cleanest barn that night. So in our own lives, there are going to be many things we can't control, circumstances just outside of our power. And in cases where we like those things, no big deal. But most of the time, we struggle with the will of God in these situations because we don't want it to be God's will. It wasn't our plan, our design. This is especially true at this time of the year. I remember, especially with my mother, but even my father, how they got more and more anxious and frustrated the closer it got to Christmas. As kids, we're getting more and more excited. Mom and Dad are like pulling out their hair with frustration because nothing's going to plan. They have all these ideas of things that they want, and yet just never worked out the way that they had in mind. Things were outside of their control, and they would become anxious and lose peace. And the older I got, the same thing would happen to me. I'd have these plans in my mind of how I thought it should go or how I thought God wanted it to go, but then it wouldn't happen that way. And it became so difficult for me to just accept what was as the will of God. One book that really helped me understand that, and I would recommend it to you, is The Abandonment to Divine Providence by De Caussade. Read it in my early 20s, changed my life. The abandonment to the divine providence. And in it, he tries to teach us this message, that as long as you're striving to follow Christ and live within his sacraments, then anything that happens to you, especially if it's outside of your control, is the will of God. Your job is to learn to submit to that will, to say, echoing the words of the Blessed Mother, let it be done to me according to your word. Now, each of the sacraments are meant to strengthen us to accept the will of God in these situations, especially the sacrament of confirmation that gives us all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I bring that up in a particular way today because in just a moment, I'm going to confirm someone, one of our brothers who has been seeking this holy sacrament. So I ask that you pray for him and for all of those who are seeking to receive the holy sacrament of confirmation, and for yourselves to realize the grace that you've been given to see and to do the will of God as it is revealed to you. But during this week before Christmas, meditate on the Blessed Mother. Meditate on Saint Joseph and how all of their plans for Christmas did not go the way that they had hoped. But they did go exactly how God wanted them to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.